ധ്യയാമോദവളാവ ഗുണ്ടനപതിം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികമീശ്വരീം. So we come to the final shloka of Kaupina Panchakam or Yati Panchakam. It's all different, known through or by different names. So we come to the final shloka now. So generally, when we experience sorrow in the world like we have been talking about it over and over again, the world is anityam asukam lokam. It is anityam. It is temporary. Since it is temporary, therefore it is asukam. Therefore it will cause dukkam. Therefore it will cause sorrow. Sorrow and sorrow alone. But if we don't know the way out of this sorrow, then we will try to shift focus. So focus will be shifted. Objects will be shifted. We will move from A to B. So when we think one place doesn't give us happiness, we'll shift from that place. So whenever something gives us, like whenever a car troubles us, gives us trouble, we'll shift the car. Whenever a house gives trouble, we'll shift the house. Whenever whenever we have problems with relationships, we don't end there. That is not the end of the world. And we'll also say that is not the end of the world. Therefore, we'll shift from that one relationship to another relationship, one person to another person. So all these like external situations, external surroundings, the world, if we change the world can be changed to become a very blissful experience. If we think that this is possible, then we are completely wrong. There is no way that the world can become blissful. The world can be blissful, can become blissful, but the world as such doesn't become blissful. It is our perspective vision of the world that becomes blissful. The same entity, so the same sweets, when we are very young, sweets give us immense bliss. When we see sweets, we run behind them. When somebody gives us any sweet, then we are very happy. But at the same time, when we grow old and we have diabetes, then the same sweet ceases to give us happiness. The same sweet gives us sorrow and sorrow alone. Because we cannot eat it. If we eat it, we want to eat it, but we cannot eat it. If we eat it, it will give sorrow. So, not possessing the sweet itself gives us sorrow. We don't have to eat. Without eating itself, the sweet or the sweets become a source of sorrow. So that is why most of the searches in the world, whenever we try to search for things in the world, we try to find one or the other refuge in the world. None of those work. I'm sorry. None of those work. We think like many of those work. We try to get happiness from one entity to another entity, but none of them give us happiness. Where we end up is we end up suffering. We end up suffering over and over again. But still, we never give up hope that the world will not give us happiness. So what more foolish can a person be who gets sorrow from one entity but still depends on another entity of the same type, of the same kind? The pleasures, like whatever pleasures we experience in the world and we attain or achieve them through contact of sense organs with sense objects or sensual pleasures, they are seeds of sorrow. Dukkha yonayah, dukkha yoni. They are all seeds of sorrow. Why? Adyantavanta. They have an adi, they have an antam. Therefore, happiness that is derived from this, that from them is also limited. Therefore, bahya sparshesu asakta atma vindati atmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yukta atma sukham akshayam ashnuti. Therefore, a wise person doesn't resort to sensual pleasures, but he gets detached from external objects, external world itself, knowing that the world, external world that we experience will give only sorrow. Person gets averted to the world, dispassionate to the world, detached to the world, and thereby seeks happiness in the one entity which can give him happiness, which is Brahman. So Brahman can be, Brahman is that entity we know, we have often quoted the shlokas. So Brahman is that entity from which this world has come, in which this world resides, onto which this world merges at the time of destruction. Which means Brahman is a substratum of the world. Brahman is the essence behind the world, the name Nama Rupa Jagat. The world filled with names and forms, Brahman is the essence. So once we know that essence is eternal, that essence is blissful, that essence always stays without any change, therefore it will give us bliss. Therefore, it is very essential that we contemplate on Brahman. So contemplation on Brahman is Jivan Mukti. When contemplation or Nididhyasanam or Anusandhanam becomes very natural, then a person, Mayyeva Mana Adatva, Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya, Nivashishyasi Mayyeva, Ata Urdhvam Na Samshayaha. Like fixing the mind onto me, fixing the intellect onto me, then a person abides in me. That means when we do contemplation of Brahman, we become one with Brahman, Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati. So Sayoha Vaitat Paramam Brahma Veda Brahma Bhavati. And when that happens, Tarati Shokam Tarati Papmanam Guha Grantibhyo Vimukto Amruto Bhavati. Such a person like crosses over Tarati Shokam Tarati Papmanam. He crosses over Shokam, he crosses over sins. So there is no sorrow. There will be no sorrow for such a person. So again, there will be no sorrow at all for such a person. So much, like we can say, so much at least, that is about contemplation of Brahman. So now comes the question of how to do contemplation. If we have to do contemplation of Brahman, obviously, if we have to contemplate on something, if we have to remember something, we should know that it is valuable. So if we have to know it is valuable, we have to start with listening about it. So many people go for discourses. So in discourses, they hear a lot of things. There is a subtle difference between hearing and listening in English term itself. Hearing means we don't apprehend anything. Listening means like we are very attentive. We grasp things out of it. Vedantic listening is one step further. Vedantic listening is listening to Brahman, listening about Brahman. So anything to do with Brahman, anything like any hearing about Brahman, Brahman's glory, Brahman's nature, talk on Brahman, talk about Brahman's nature, talk about Brahman being the creator of the world. Anything that has focus on Brahman, again, focus on Brahman. If we go to a discourse and then the topic taken up is creation, or the let's say the first chapter, second kandam, or the second chapter of Mundaka Upanishad, and then like everything, second Mundakam, first kandam, then whatever is taken up is creation process. So creation process is also fine, that is also listening, but if focus is on Brahman, so how can we know like whether the focus is on Brahman? Focus is on Brahman means like again a person will speak about Brahman. A person will emphasize Brahman, emphasize realizing Brahman, emphasize everything about Brahman, coming back to Brahman. That has to be there, that essence has to be there. Essence or import of import has to be Brahman in order for it to be listening. So this listening is what Vedanta calls as Shravanam. So Shravanam means listening about Brahman. So listening means again we grasp something. So we can, there is no point of listening to Balakrishnan Nair's lecture to our lecture. But after that, we don't even apprehend anything. We don't remember anything that he says. Brahman or Nama, Rupam and all those, like, we don't remember at all. There is no purpose. There is no use. So listening means attentively hearing and apprehending some aspects, if not everything, at least some aspects apprehending. That is important. So once we listen, when we listen, somebody who is convinced about Brahman talks. So when a person who is convinced about Brahman talks, there will be power behind the words. It is like Sachin Tendulkar telling, this is how you hit a six. He will not even doubt because there is conviction behind his words. So therefore, they will not even doubt. So similar, Obama, people might think, why is Obama so popular? So Obama is very popular because his words have conviction. Conviction in the sense like he has a lot of confidence while speaking. So that is very important. So when conviction, and a person with conviction says that, okay, this is what it is and all those, the Jagat is mithya, Brahman alone is real, we may just shake our head because at that time conviction is there, everything goes in. But listening means just apprehending. We don't work on it, we don't analyze it. We have to do our part of analysis before contemplating on it. So we may apprehend a lot of things while we are driving on the highway. We apprehend, like, we see a lot of things. Listening, we can say listening is also, seeing also is a sort of listening. So we see a lot of things, though they get registered in our mind. But many things we just forget. We don't analyze on them. We don't store them. We don't work on them. So we have to work on whatever we have listened. That work is what is called as reflection or mananam. So in this work, when we work on whatever has been listened, then we try to logically analyze it. So that means we try to remove any doubts that may come. So that means our conviction about whatever has been listened grows. Which means conviction about Brahman grows. So unless conviction is very strong, we cannot contemplate. So conviction will not be strong if there are doubts. So all doubts, all possible doubts have to be removed through mananam. Now mananam, like Vedanta, gives the way of anvaya, vyatireka, yukti and many other logic to prove the three things that Shankara says as Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo, Brahma Ivanaparaha. So all those, like, we know, we don't have to, nobody has to explain that to them. We already know all those. So those are like something which we have to do. So mananam, we have to do, follow all of those mananam and gain conviction about Brahman. Once we gain conviction about Brahman, then we can contemplate on Brahman. We are so convinced about Brahman, therefore we can implement whatever the Shastras say about Brahman. We can contemplate on Brahman with the qualities or not qualities. There is no quality for Brahman or Gunam. So the nature of Brahman, whatever we know about Brahman, we can remember that and we can contemplate. So contemplation requires first Vedantic knowledge. We need to know Vedanta. We need to know Vedanta with respect to Brahman. So many people know Vedanta. They can quote scriptures at will, but they don't know the essence of the scriptures to be Brahman. So essence of the scriptures as Brahman is something which is very vital, which is something very important in order to do contemplation. So if a sadhaka, when a sadhaka does constant contemplation of Brahman, that I am Brahman, there is only Brahman here, there is no dvaitam. Dvaitam is nama rupam, jagat is mithya. Whichever perspective is better for us, all perspectives are fine. Aham brahmasmi, or brahma satyam jagan mithya, sarvam brahma mayam, aham sakshi. Any way is fine. Any way which leads, which has us remembering that brahma satyam jagan mithya, that Brahman alone is real, that is fine. Whatever way it may be. So when we do that, when we constantly contemplate, then it becomes, as Ramana Maharshi says, it is like a shruti. When a person is singing, Shruti goes in the background. So we may not even notice this Shruti. The person singing also might seem to be not noticing the Shruti, but he is always listening to the Shruti. Shruti goes on in the background, whatever happens. So whether the song stops, whether the tabla mridanga player plays a tani arthanam, or the tabla player plays something, or there is a gap, it doesn't matter, the Shruti goes on. So in the same way, when we do constant contemplation, nididhyasanam or anusandhanam, and it becomes very natural. Very natural means so natural that we don't have to remind ourselves that I am Brahman. So when that remembrance is, when that reminder is not required for the mind, it is naturally goes in the background of the mind. Such a person is called a Jivan Mukta. And we already discussed about Yatis Kaupina. They are always abiding in Brahman, which means their mind is always contemplating on Brahman. So Brahma Bhavam, Brahma Bhavana or Brahma Chinta is always there in their mind. So we, when we are doing activities in the world, we may have to remind ourselves about Brahman, or Brahman will be in the background amidst all other activities. When we are talking, when we are walking, when we are eating, when we are drinking, when we are sleeping. So when we do a lot of activities, when we are doing a lot of such activities, it is like when we do any of those activities, in the background of our mind, Brahma Chintanam goes on. But for a Kaupina Dhari, there is no background required, because that is the only activity such a person does. That is why it is very blessed. So it is not something which is very essential. Whether Brahma Chinta is in the background or foreground, it doesn't matter. It is one of the strongest Chinta. It is one of the, it's the king of thoughts. So it is, Brahman is king, because Brahman is blissful. Brahman is everything. Brahman is essence. Brahman is real. Therefore, Brahma Chintanam, whenever we do Brahma Chintanam, automatically other thoughts will pave way, or other thoughts will stand aside or step aside, we can see. So that is what will happen. That a Kaupina Dhari always contemplates on Brahman, which is the ultimate state, which is what is our goal. A sadhaka does nididhyasanam with some effort. He forgets. Yato yato nischarate manaha chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyetat atmanyeva vasham naye. Whenever the mind goes astray is the right word, or stray. Whenever the mind gets distracted or deviated, then pull it back. Pull it with astray. When the mind goes astray, pull it back and bring it to the self. The mind, so as Ramana Maharshi used to say, when you forget that who am I, or I am Brahman, then remind yourself. When you forget, when you know that you have forgotten, then you can remember, you can remind yourself. So go back again. So this constant struggle, through constant practice, it will become natural. So for a sadhaka, I am Brahman is a sadhana. For a jnani, I am Brahman is natural. It is anubhavam. So it's called aparoksha anubhavam. It is aparoksha anubhavam, or it is a swarupam rather than an activity. But this, the final shloka of Yati Panchakam Shankara talks about that in brief, and says that such a yati will always focus on Brahman. Brahmaksharam pavanam uccharanto brahma hamasmiti vibhavayantah bhikshashino dikshu paribhramantah kaupinavantah kalu bhagyavantah. So brahmaksharam pavanam uccharantah. So brahmaksharam pavanam. Pavanam brahmaksharam. So brahmaksharam pavanam. So pavanam brahmaksharam. That brahmaksharam, that word of Brahman, that pure word of Brahman, brahmaksharam, pure word of Brahman, pure term of Brahman, it is pure pavanam. It is pure me because it is untainted by anything. It is blissful. It doesn't have any sorrow in it. It doesn't have any sin in it. There's nothing in it. So it is very pure, and it is Pavanam also because it will purify us. Whenever we think about Brahman, any moment we think about Brahman with its real import, it's not like just saying, I am Brahmasmi, Brahmasati, Vigan Mithya. Then if we do that, then when something goes, something is wrong, we encounter some problem, then like we will not remember. So that is not what is meant. So we have to remember what is the meaning of Brahman. And Nididhyasanam means, we have to remember, Nididhyasanam means Shravanam Mananam, after Shravanam Mananam. So we know what is Brahman, who is Brahman, what is its nature, all those we already know. So when we contemplate on Brahman, knowing its Brahman's nature, true nature, that it is Advitiya Satyam, I am Brahman, Brahman alone exists here, then it purifies the mind, it purifies a seeker, a sadhaka is purified. So Pavanam Uccharantaha, such a Pavanam Pavana Brahma Aksharam Uccharantaha. A person, he chants, he always chants the pure word of Brahman. So Brahman, the name of Brahman is repeated over and over again. How can't it be repeated? Because he is abiding as Brahman. He doesn't have any other activity. So which means it is going in the background again and again and again and again. And Brahma aham asmi iti vibhavayantah. Brahma aham asmi. I am that Brahman. I am Brahman. Bhavana vibhavayantah. He does contemplation. So the PDF translates itself meditation, but we can call it as contemplation. So contemplation. Vishesha Bhavana. So contemplation, a person, he is contemplating that I am Brahman at all times. And since that is the only thing he does, Bhiksha Ashino Dikshu Paribrahmantaha, he roams here and there. So Ashinam means food. So Ashinaha, eating food. What food does he eat? Bhiksha. Whatever he gets in alms, whatever people give him, he eats that and roams around freely. So what would be such a state where a person is roaming around freely and there is no duty, there is no activity, there is no karma, there is nothing. Whatever is there is. Yeah, Dikshu means places. So Dikshu Paribrahmantaha. Paribrahmantaha means roaming. Dikshu means places, direction. Dikshu means directions. So here, we'll have to just say all directions. Vadikshu paribrahmantaha, he roams around in all the places, is that meaning? Maybe wrong, maybe dikshu is freely, but I think dikshu is, that's the meaning. He roams around freely, very freely he roams around. He doesn't have anything to do. The only thing he does is contemplation of Brahman. And that contemplation is something which we have to always develop. So it is something that we have to strive for. We have to strive to contemplate, always contemplate on Brahman. Because Brahma Chintanam, that is the only way, only way that we can get Anandam. So there is no way that we can get Anandam other than contemplating on Brahman, because everything apart from Brahman is just an illusion. So illusions can only give us dukkham. So jagat mithya, mithya jagat can only give us dukkham. The jagat which is not real, what can it give us? It can only give us dukkham. So we go to sleep and we have a very beautiful dream. We marry the one of the beautiful woman in the entire world, who happens to be a princess of a very great and rich king. So I marry a princess. I can think other way as well. Marrying a prince, so it doesn't matter. So marriage happens. And then what happens is I rule the kingdom. I have a lot of money. I enjoy pleasures. Everything is very smooth. Everything is very proper. But all of a sudden, there is some flood in the area. And in the flood, what happens? Flood means what will happen in flood? things will get washed away by water, you will fall into water. So if, okay, why flood, why not fire? So we'll come to that. So flood comes and everything, everybody gets washed, everybody dies, we somehow struggle. We are also trying to swim, but it is, it's like tsunami. So it is very strong waves, you are not able to, or like we are struggling to keep our face above water. We struggle for air, we go in, we come out, we go in, we come out. And all of a sudden our face goes inside completely into the water. And suddenly we open our eyes. So then what happens is, somebody has thrown a bucket of water on our head. So until then there was some sprinkling. So that is when we went in, came out, went in, came out. The sprinkling didn't have any effect. So a bucket of water came, and then that that spoiled, that ruined our dream. So once we wake up from that dream, there are two things that happen there, two main things. One is enjoyment. Enjoyment in the sense like I was a very poor person, I became the king, I enjoyed everything. And the second is I lost everything as well. So there is a happy situation, there is a sad situation. So do we get affected by either of those? Do we get affected by the happy situation or the sad situation? After waking up, like, we don't cry over whatever we have lost. So we don't cry over the sorrow there. And so with the happiness or from the whatever happiness we had, like, we don't cry remembering that I had all those I don't have now. We also aren't very happy that, oh, I was like sad that I might die, but I am safe now. We don't do that. We do neither of those. So this world is also like that. This world is also like that. It is a mixture of happiness and sorrow, external happiness and sorrow. But all those, the happiness and sorrow are not real. They are just an illusion. So they will come. Happiness will come. Happiness will go. Sorrow will come. Sorrow will go. Happiness comes. We have to know that sorrow also will come, because it's like the two sides of the same coin. So they will come. All those will come. If we are wise person, we will not get affected by them. We will not get distracted by any of them. So when happiness comes, na prahrishye priyam prapya, na udvijye prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhi rasam moodo brahmavid brahmani sthitaha. Na prahrishye priyam prapya. Priyam prapya. Priyam means whatever we like, that gives us happiness. So when that we achieve, or like we get whatever we want, we don't get overexcited. When we get like what we don't like, we don't get angry, we don't get sad as well. Sthira buddhi, we maintain a sthira buddhi. Buddhi is sthiram. Sthiram means stable, like a rock. So rock buddhi, many people have rock buddhi. My son, my daughter shouldn't join Chinmaya mission. My children should not take up sannyasam. My children should do what I say. It works other way as well. My parents should do what I say. There are many people like who will run behind parents saying, okay, well, father, why don't you come to for Vedanta? Why don't you learn Vedanta? So there are people like that. So that is, there is sthira buddhi with respect to come to Vedanta sthira buddhi. Don't go to Vedanta sthira buddhi. There are many types of sthira buddhi that are available in the world. But most of them are with respect to the world. With respect to people of the world, even telling somebody, okay, learn Vedanta is not proper. It is okay, it is good. But if we don't remember internally that Brahman alone exists, then who to learn, what to learn? Okay, this is my role. I have to tell somebody that it is good for your benefit that you have to learn Vedanta. Well and good. Because what will happen? If we tell to 10 different people learn Vedanta, obviously if we do probability, 50%. So 5 people will agree, 5 will not agree. So probability is that 5 people will be happy, 5 people will be very angry. So all those are there. We will have to face all those. So we should know that, we should remember. So just saying Vedanta sthira buddhi, about talking about Vedanta and pulling people to Vedanta, that is okay, that is good. But not at the cost of forgetting Brahman. We have to remember that there is only one Brahman. If there is only one Brahman, who to learn, what to learn, why to learn? There is only one Brahman. Oh, that is for me, one Brahman. For him, there are multiple. So I have to help him. What him? It is for us. Vedanta is for us, not for him. When we learn Vedanta and implement Vedanta, it is for our benefit, not for his benefit. If we have to benefit, we have to implement Vedanta. If we have to implement Vedanta, then for us, it is for us. Uddare Atman Atmanam Atmanam Avasadaye Atmaivi Hi Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Ripura Atmanah. So, a person helps himself. We have to uplift our own self. Nobody else can help us. The Guru can only show us the way. We have to take the step. So, a horse can be taken to the pond, but it cannot be made to drink water. It has to drink itself. So, somebody can show us the way, but we have to take the step and say, I am going to take this. So, then if we have to take that, then where is the other person? In dream, we also advise other people, oh, come on, wake up, my dear friend. So, if we are parents, we may say, oh, wake up. Or if we are roommates with our friends, we may wake up the friend and say, oh, you are sleeping since long. Come, we have to go to office. Come, we have to go to college. Come. In dream, we may do that. But is the other person real? No. In dream, we may say, okay, learn Vedanta to the other person. Is that real? It's not real. What is real is just one. And when that oneness is always with respect to us. Because everything is based on us. Everything is based on this I. But for this I, where is that other person? The other person himself vanishes. If this I is not there, so everything is with respect to this I. This I is currently the ego. This I has to become one with Brahman. Dvaita Bhavam has to vanish. When that happens, then we will be able to rejoice in bliss. But Sthira Buddhi, people have Sthira Buddhi about a lot of things. Sthira Buddhi, and Vedanta talks about Sthira Buddhi. Sthira Buddhi means Sthita Prajna, one who is Prajna, one whose conviction, one whose knowledge, one whose perspective, vision is stable, steady. And what is that? Sthira Buddhi, Asammoodaha, Sthira Buddhi. The Buddhi which doesn't have some, Asammoodaha, such a person is not a fool, such a person is not an ignorant, he is very learned. Brahmavit, Brahmani Sthitaha, he is a Brahmavit. So, Brahmavit means knower of Brahman. Knower of Brahman means Sthira Buddhi with respect to Brahman. Such a person abides in Brahman at all times. So that means that a person abides in Brahman. So that means there is a person and there is Brahman. So there itself duality is there. It is just from our dual perspective that such statements are made. That you will abide in Brahman. How much more clearer can Vedanta say? If you know Brahman, you become Brahman. You are Brahman then. Then why do you say, I will become Brahman and all? Oh, that is just a perspective vision. It is from our Ajnanam state, that is how it can be pointed out. There is no other way that it can be pointed out. So that state, if we have to really talk about that state, we cannot. Because it is Advaitam. Where is there words for that? There are no words to express that state. It is impossible. We have to just go to that state. But if we have to go to that state, we can just hint it from this perspective, from our level. Yeah, from Ajnanam, from Dvaitam, we can say Dvaitam will vanish, there will only be Advaitam. All those are just statements. Vedanta itself is statement. Let's say that's why many people don't get bliss out of Vedantic learning as well. Because they don't implement, it has to become our life. When Vedanta becomes our life, then it is, we become Brahman, then there is no need for statements. Then nobody, we don't have to learn any Shastra. Nobody has to tell us this is what the Shastra say. You may say, oh, I already know that. Why do you already know that? Because I know it. I am experiencing it. So it is like somebody telling, okay, have you been to Las Vegas? LV? Then we may say, no. Then the other person will say, Las Vegas is like this, is like that. It is open 24 hours, this, that. Everything will be, but let's say we have been there, and when the person says, okay, it is like this, it is like that, then he will say, I already have seen it. Why do you have to tell me? You don't have to tell me. And even if the person tells and we haven't been, then we'll not get a true experience. No, you can get. Google Earth is there. Google Earth is there. Google Map is there. Read with video. All those Google Earth, Google Map, even if you have a webcam, what does the webcam do? It just gives some perspective. It is not 3D. It is not full perspective. Even if it is 3D perspective, it is not, it can't give us bliss. It can't give us even temporary happiness. So it is like telling that I don't have money, but I am seeing money in webcam. What is the point of seeing money in webcam? Can it buy us anything? It cannot buy. There is food shown in webcam. If food is shown like that, one appease our hunger. We have to eat it. If we have to eat it, the food has to be near us. So we can't just argue, give fake arguments like that. We can't do any kutarkam. Tarkam itself ends in Vedanta. Vedanta, in Vedanta, when a person properly understands Vedanta, tarkam ends. There is no argument, there is no discussion. Discussion will be only for clearing doubts. But other than that, there will not be any such arguments. There is no argument because beyond doubt, Vedanta says beyond doubt. Brahma satyam jagan mitya jivo brahma evana padaha anena vedyam sat shatram iti Vedanta dindima. The lions of Vedanta are roaring. Brahma satyam, Brahman is real. This jagat is mitya. Jiva is Brahman. With this everything is known. What else do you have to know? Oh, I still need to know about Maya, you know. Then Narada's story about Maya, we have to remember. There is no point of knowing about Maya. Maya itself is an illusion. What is the point of knowing about Maya? It is like trying to understand. Oh, I know that the water doesn't exist, but I still want to know about water. Isn't such a person who says that a fool? Obviously, he is a fool. Because there is no water at all. If there is no water, how can he know water? And even if like he can know water, there are ways to know water. He can just say the water is like this, water is like that, and try to do some analysis. What is the point? What is the purpose? It doesn't have any purpose. So many people are running behind creation theories, Shastram, like many new works, many old works, everything. All are fine. Vedanta is fine with learning any Shastra. Vedanta is fine with any profession. Vedanta is fine with any activity, any thought, anything. There is nothing like that. That is the speciality of Vedanta. That is why Shankara was able to uplift many systems. So Vedanta, the speciality of Vedanta is anything is fine, anything and everything is fine. No, anything and everything is not fine. You are just putting words in Shankara's mouth. Vedanta doesn't say anything like that. Even if Shankara says it, you may say Shankara says. Many of Shankara's works are not Shankara's works, so I won't believe. Krishna doesn't say. Krishna says, Yat karohi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi darasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurishva madarpanam. Whatever you do, offer it as unto me. Anything that you do doesn't matter. Oh no, there he only says to do actions. He doesn't say good and bad actions. Api che sudhuracharo bhajate maam ananya bhag sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Api che sudhuracharah. Suduracharam, duracharam means like bad conduct. When a person is doing a bad action, suduracharam, the worst possible action, bhajate maam ananya bhak, he remembers me and does of that, then sadureva samantavya, he is to be considered a sadhu. Oh, can a person do bad action remembering Ishvara very well? Vasana will make us do bad action, but along with that bad action, if we are able to include Ishvara there, that bad action will become good. Many Asura Chakravarti is like Prahalada, Mahabali. Many of those Asura Chakravartis did bad action. Their action is bad. Killing people is a dharma. But they did that remembering Brahman, remembering Ishvara. So Ishvara himself gives them protection. Ishvara himself uplifts them. Ishvara himself helps them out by giving knowledge, by giving jnanam, by giving anandam. So that means it is possible. Doesn't matter. How will such a person progress then? Shubha shubha phalairevam mokshase karma bandhanehi sanyasa yoga yuktadma sukham akshayam ashnute. When a person remembers Ishvara while doing all those activities, then shubham ashubham, there will not be any shubham ashubham. If Ishvara is there, where is shubham and ashubham? So soon, like very soon, such a person being devoid of shubham and ashubham, thought about phalam, ishwararpitam, naichya kritam. So when that happens, then such a person will very soon progress, very soon realize the truth. Shipram bhavati, dharmatma, shashvat shanting, nigachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So, kshipram bhavati dharmatmahi. Very soon we'll get rid of that addiction. And shashvat shantim nigacchati. He will attain eternal peace very soon. O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, know for sure that my bhakta never perishes. So, my bhakta means ananya chintanam is bhakta ananya chintayanto maam. Ejana pariyupasate. Whoever is worshipping Ishvara with Ananya Bhajanam means remembering Ishvara is Ananya Bhajanam, because when Ishvara is remembered, Brahman is remembered, everything else is just termed as an illusion. Illusion means not really existing, so that means the thirst for them vanishes. The thirst for objects gets reduced. So when we term something as an illusion, not existing, then even though it is there, The water is still seen in desert after knowing that there is no water. So even though we may see water in desert, water is not there. But if we know water is not there, even if we see it, it ceases to be a problem because we know it is not real. If we know it is not real, it doesn't pose any problem. It ceases to pose problem. It will help us in remembering that there is only Brahman here. So that is what will happen. So, a person who includes Brahman while doing bad activities due to some vasana. Vasanas are there, since many births we have cultivated a lot of vasanas. So, as a result of those vasanas, we may be doing bad activities. So, that will happen, that will happen. For many people, vasanas are there. We cannot get rid of vasanas. Vishwamitra did a lot of tapas to get rid of his vasanas, but one menaka was enough. One menaka and one day or half a day was enough to get rid of vasana. One or two day was enough to pull him down, pull Vishwamitra down. From his state of contemplation or meditation. So such strong are vasanas. Of course, Vishwamitra was a realized master. He is just showing us that this is what will happen. After many years of doing sadhana, doing contemplation, still vasanas will be there. So vasanas are okay. It is okay to have vasanas. We should remember to include Ishvara amidst those vasanas. If we include Ishvara in those vasanas, then automatically the vasanas or the strength of vasanas will get reduced, and when the strength of vasanas get reduced, then automatically they will not pose any problem, so there will not be any nirbandha buddhi. So we may still have vasanas about drinking coffee or drinking tea, or getting up in the morning, reading shastras, and all those we may have in our mind, but it doesn't matter whether we have or not, because if Brahman is there, Brahma Chintanam is there, then whatever happens, we will be able to remember that everything is one Brahman. This is just an illusion. This is just a time pass. My role requires me to get into this vasana. Therefore, I am doing it. So, Rama could have very well got rid of his addiction to Sita, but he didn't. But he was realized. So, as Ramana Maharshi gives this beautiful Puranic story, so once Shiva and Parvati were walking by, and when they were walking by, Rama, at that time, Rama was searching for Sita, who had been taken by Ravana. So, Rama was running here and there and calling out, Sita, Sita, Sita. So, Shiva and Vishnu are good friends. So unlike what their followers think, Shiva and Vishnu are and will always be good friends. So at that time, Parvati said to Shiva, "Oh Shiva, look at your friend. You worship him. You prostrate him and all. Look at him. He is running behind Sita like a normal worldly person." Then Shiva said, "Oh Devi, you don't know anything. So Rama is just acting. Rama is just portraying his role. He is a jnani. He is just portraying it his role." Parvati was not convinced. And then Shiva, they were passing by, Rama was in front of them. So Shiva prostrated, like offered his pranams. Rama also offered, okay, Rama accepted and offered. And then Parvati also did, like, but she was not happy. And then she was still cribbing about it, saying that, okay, no, like, you should not have prostrated. I know, like, you are a friend with Vishnu and you used to prostrate, but you should not have prostrated now. Look at him, what he is doing. You should never have done that. Then Shiva said, like, if you still have, like, if you think like that way, if you are not convinced that Rama is just portraying his role, then you can go and ask Rama himself. So Parvati decided to test Rama. Parvati thought, like, asking Rama is the old way. So the new way is testing. So Parvati decided to test Rama. So Parvati appeared in front of Rama in the form of Sita. So of course these people have siddhis. If I could only become like Rama, it would have been great. If I become Krishna, then I can play with gopis. If I become Radha, I can play with Krishna. We don't have to struggle so much and for that. We can just wear Radha's clothes. If we go to any shop, we'll get Radha's clothes or Krishna's clothes. And like if we want Krishna also, like the people may even loan Krishna's Krishna for sale. Maybe there are. Going by the way the world is progressing, there may be places where you get Krishna for sale, Rama for sale, Vishnu for sale, Brahman for sale. Everywhere people are publicizing a lot, so everything would be there even now. So we don't have to struggle so much and all. So anyway, Sita appeared means Parvati Sita appeared in front of Rama. Rama smiled at her. And Rama asked, first question Rama asked was, "Oh Parvati, what are you doing here? Where is your consort? Shambhu, where is Shambhu? You are alone." And then Parvati said, like, "Oh, I am Sita." Then Rama laughed and said, "No, I know you are not Sita. You are Parvati." So Parvati understood her mistake and then prostrated and went on her way. So there Rama appeared, like Rama, according to his vasana. Vasana means according to his karma. He according to his karma means according to his role play. He had to cry for Sita, which is exactly what he did. He cried for Sita. He did it perfectly. He did it so perfectly that he deluded even Parvati. So much he did. But it's fine. Activities can still go on. It doesn't matter. We may have some bondages, we may have some vasanas, so all those will be there. If they are there, let them continue. Let vasanas also continue. If we have vasanas, if we have problems in life, like if we have to do work, if we have to do a lot of work, fine, do work. But include Brahman along with that. Kama krodha adhikam san tasmin neva karaniyam. Even kamam krodham, anything that we have to do very boldly. Take action boldly. There is no reason to fear anything. You can boldly do any action, but remembering that Brahman alone exists. So just keeping that in the mind is enough. Just having that thought that everything is Brahman in the mind is enough. That alone is enough in order to purify our mind, in order to give us anandam. So if we get anandam out of contemplation that everything is Brahman, then purification do we need? What else do we need? What else does a person need, like if he is able to contemplate on Brahman, that everything is one Brahman and rejoice in bliss? And that such rejoicing in bliss is very well possible. That is possible any point of time. So that is what we learn from this Yati Panchakam. So Yati, Kaupina Dharis are people like who are able to get rid of actions and remain blissful. So while remaining in the world, it is very tough to get rid of actions. So if they are able to get rid of actions and always rejoice in bliss while living in this world, then externally renouncing, if we think about it, external renunciation is tough. Inner renunciation is very easy, like it is just mental. Really speaking, it is the opposite. But if we think, if we have desire, if we have the thirst that I will implement renunciation, I will contemplate on Brahman, Sarvam Brahmamayam, then it is very, very easy. It's very easy to implement in the mind. And if we are not so convinced about it, if we are not very passionate about it, then at least we can remember that the goal that we are, the fruit that we will get out of this implementation, the fruit is Anandam. If Anandam also cannot push us towards achieving that goal, towards implementing Vedanta, then nothing will. There is no point at all. So such people can go and struggle, suffer in the world, or they can suffer. They can suffer thinking that it is Anandam. As Ramakrishna Paramahansa says, there are few fishes who, like when a fisherman throws a net, there are few fishes which will get caught. And while getting caught also, they will not struggle to get out. They don't want to be free. Why? Because along with, whenever a fisherman catches fishes, some mud also gets caught. So the fishes which are there, some fishes will remain in the mud and think that I am safe. They are not safe. They are not at all safe, but they think they are safe. So it is like a frog which is, as Amma always says, it is like a frog which is in front of a snake hole thinking that it is very safe. It is not safe. It is not at all safe, but it thinks it is safe. So if we want to be like that, well and good. We don't have to learn any Vedanta. But definitely we will suffer, definitely we will face sorrow. Sorrow is inevitable unless a person remembers that everything is one. Brahman, without Brahma Chintanam, without Brahma Smarana, without Brahma Bhavana, without remembering that everything is one Brahman, we will not get Anandam at all. So this work very beautifully says that the blissful state of a Kaupinadhari who has renounced even externally, we don't have to do external renunciation. If it is tough, we don't have to do. If we start removing our clothes and walking just with a kaupinam on the road, then it may cause a lot of problem. We may have to go into jail, and then like we can contemplate a lot there. Proper situations there also, the food will be very good. It will be too good that we will be forced to contemplate on Ishvara. We can be blissful there as well. So we don't have to do that. We can remain blissful while internally offering everything to Brahman. Internally, just remember everything is Brahman. And Brahman yadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyah lipyatena sapapena patma patramiva ambasa. So offering all actions onto Brahman, if we remain, then like, we will not be tainted by sorrows, tainted by sins. Fruit of action, fruits of action, sama dukkha sukha swastha, sama loshtashma kanchanaha. When we have a proper vision towards this world, we will not suffer at all. Because everything is one. Gold and mud are same. Sukham, dukkham, same. Like we are ever blissful. Because in our mind, we remember everything is one Brahman. This doesn't mean externally also we have to show that. Then people will just take our clothes and then we will be put in jail. So externally, we can show, oh, it is gold. Oh, that is gold. It's very good. It's superb. Like, can you give it to me? You can also ask all those. But when that person says, I won't give you, then, okay, that's fine, I'll adjust. All those, like, we can play a role. It's just a role play. This entire world is just a drama. We have our role, we can play our role to perfection, remembering that everything is one Brahman. So may this work of Yati Panchakam help us, Yati Panchakam or Kaupina Panchakam, help us to become a Kaupina Dhari or Yati, in the mind, not externally but mentally, so that we are able to remain very blissful amidst all the problems of the world. We are able to remain very happy while performing duties, performing activities like any worldly person. As Shankara says, Yoga Ratova, Bhoga Ratova, Sangha Ratova, Sangha Vihinaha, Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. What Brahman? That Brahman who alone exists. So remembering that Brahman in the mind, yogam, bogam, sangam, asangam, it doesn't matter. We will ever rejoice in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that the small work, small yet beautiful work of Shankara help us in becoming in Jnani, rejoicing in bliss each and every moment of our life, relishing everything that the world has to give us, still remaining very blissful because the world itself is Brahman. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that in this very birth itself. I'm sure.